Shalom. This is Sheila Crawford from the Shofar Ministries Hour, and we are starting a new format tonight by starting the program with our news portion right at the beginning, before our normal introduction. It will make for better editing when we want to replay any one of our more special programs for you. As usual, we will keep it short, focusing mostly on Israel and the nations that affect her. For as you know, what affects Israel affects us. Israel continues to be watchful of Syria, especially as it appears Assad is gaining ground in its civil war. It's an open fact now that Obama has been arming the Syrian rebels, secretly led by the Muslim Brotherhood, and Saudi Arabia is helping to pay for that. On the other side, Russia and Iran have been sending arms and missiles to President Assad's army with the help of Hezbollah. And they're helping fight alongside of Syria. And as you know, they're headquartered in Lebanon. So it's getting really close to Israel's border. Again, stay mindful of the fact that Obama does not want Assad to stay in power. And although not openly talked about, Russia's Putin and Barack Obama loathe each other. And I can assure you of that. But Putin has warned Israel not to even consider taking out any more shipments of missiles going to Assad, as they did last month, or bombing any storehouses, for they would retaliate and a probable war would begin. On the other hand, Israel says, well, if they try to send any more of these, especially these powerful S-300s, they can easily take out Tel Aviv, that Israel would stop them in their tracks or at least make them inoperable. So everyone is watching to see what Putin does and awaiting, as you know, the start of Psalm 83. It's a tense situation. So who will win, you might wonder? Well, we need to look at prophecy, since Ezekiel 36:2 says that the ancient heights or the Golan Heights becomes the property of Syria in the last days. Assad will probably win this civil war, and then being prideful over that, will probably go and take the Golan. And Israel, it looks like, might just concede to that. But then others, because of that and pride, will think that they can go further and push Israel into the sea. And that's when God will help Israel not only be victorious, but to regain land and increase all their borders, to then include all of Syria, who will be gone. And then that is exactly what Psalm 83 is all about, extending Israel's borders. So all this can be done still this year or certainly early next. So exciting. Can't wait to see God at his finest. One more thing. We know that during the tribulation, Ezekiel 38 says Iran and Russia will attack Israel with their other allies. We also see that Syria is not mentioned in that war. Why? Well, because it was in the Psalm 83 war as part of Assyria, so it's no longer. This makes perfect sense, since we know Israel will expand its borders to the Euphrates and the Nile. So at this juncture, I believe Assad will remain. Unless we want a war with Russia now, and I don't think so. And that concludes our news portion, and now here's Johnny.
I knew you were going to say it. Shalom, Mishpacha. That's our family of listeners. Thanks for tuning in to the live Shofar Ministries Hour on 1220 AM Christian Radio and on the World Wide Web, whkwradio.com. And this is John Bartlett, your co-host, along with our teacher of God's Word, Sheila Crawford. We believe in God's Word. We really do. Because contrary to all other religious writings, God's Word contains thousands of prophecies, and most have already been fulfilled, proving only that God could have dictated it. Only God could have dictated it.
And amen.
Keep that in mind, though, because we're going to continue to look at the book of Jude, that one chapter book that contains so much tonight. And be sure you have your Bible with you and have some paper and a pen so you can take notes, okay? And we're going to begin with a prayer. Thank you, Lord, again, for allowing us the opportunity to minister your word to your people and to all the listeners out there. We just want to bless you. And I don't have the words to thank you enough for saving us and saving me. We've had many requests come in this week, and a lot of them are for healing, and some are for supernatural help. And the ones for healing, Lord, I want to lift up to you. There's a woman named Evie, and her grandmother's really suffering from a collapsed lung. And Lord, we're asking you for a supernatural healing in that. And also, we know someone that's contacted us, and they've asked for help to conquer drug addictions. And I know, Lord, for a fact that you're stronger than any drug addiction, and you're stronger than any disease, Lord. So we will thank you in advance for helping these people, and you honor their faith because they asked us to pray. And also, I want to thank you for getting me through my little bout with skin cancer, and for all the people that prayed with me and for me. And I thank you, Lord. I know that you are stronger than what the devil can throw at me. So, and with that, I guess I'll say amen, and we'll get back to the program here.
In the name of Jesus.
Amen.
Mm-hmm. Yes, you certainly did get a miracle there, John.
Yeah,
and we're
sure
very
did.
Excited and happy, and we just praise the Lord every day.
Yes, we do.
We do.
There's nothing he cannot do.
That's right. Mm-hmm. There's nothing he can do. But I just hope that everybody grows in him, and maybe tonight's broadcast can help them do that.
Mm-hmm.
I pray that you get your desire increased so that you get closer to your Savior, because you're going to need all your armor on, and today's very wicked forces are out there.
You need that armor, and that's really what we're all about here. We want you to get closer to Jesus. We want to be closer to Jesus, and especially in these times. And we do have the phone lines, and you can call us right here, right now, live. The number is 888-677-WORD. I want to remind you that the programs that you may have missed, they're all archived on our website, shofarministries.net. And if you don't want to be on the air with your question, when you call in, just give your question or your comment to our producer, Derek. He'll pass it along to us. And I guess with that, we can get right back into the book of Jude, which was only one chapter that has taken us so long, verse by verse, to do. But
that's a good thing.
Well, that is a good thing. Do you think we're going to finish this one chapter tonight?
It's called an exegesis.
Yes.
No.
That's a big...
I don't think we're going to finish tonight.
Oh, boy. Okay.
I don't think so.
Well,
we definitely will by next week.
Okay, I don't really... I wish it could go on and on, actually, because I've learned so much.
Mm-hmm.
It's so interesting, mm-hmm. and it's so relevant today, and I can't believe that this book is hardly ever taught.
I know. It's just been blessing me, too.
Oh, wow.
But quick recap. Jude is pleading with believers, starts off, to contend for the faith, because ravenous wolves, heretics and apostates have crept into the church unnoticed.
Mm-hmm.
What's the key word here, John?
Unnoticed.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And we must confront them when we hear it. Then he gives many examples of who God has judged in the past and will indeed judge these apostates as well very soon. We also see Jude characterizes these apostates, and we read in 2 Peter 2 and Hebrews 6 as being unrenewable because they were enlightened and were partakers of the Holy Spirit and then totally changed and went against him. We also talked about evil spirits and how we must use in the name of Jesus for all demonic deliverances.
That's very true. The rosary and holy water won't do it. They really won't. Sheila, I know you're a former Catholic.
Mm-hmm.
And didn't you say you have just viewed, I think on YouTube, maybe, I don't know where you said you saw it.
I've seen some videos.
Videos?
On deliverance, yes.
Okay.
And
Catholic priests doing...
Been involved in a few as well.
Oh, yeah, that's right. You had that message.
A long time ago. But basically, this is what I saw, especially on this Catholic channel. They always start out with the Hail Mary, sprinkling holy water,
mm-hmm.
and I've seen some even burning sage for some reason, and nothing happens until they use the name of Jesus, and they always get to that, and I just think, well, you know, just do that right away, but I think they think it's a package deal. I don't know. But when they get to the name of Jesus, they are set free.
Wow.
It's amazing.
So they don't need they need to cut to the chase and just use the name of Jesus. And then, of course, the person that is delivered needs to be born again. Because if they're not, that the demon, scriptures say that demons will come back seven times worse.
They can. Yeah. Absolutely. You want to fill it with the Jesus right away.
Yeah. And the burning sage, that's an American Indian thing.
Oh, why are they burning that sage?
Yeah, that's why, because they're inclusive. They're ecumenical.
Oh.
Remember, you told me that. I'm learning from you. But they're ecumenical, and they want to include all the religions. And there are many.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah. And there are a lot of exorcisms right now. Right now, there's mm-hmm. a lot of evil entities out there, and I think we don't have to be convinced of that. And they're getting stronger, and some of these people, or some of these, what would you call them? Well, they're spirits. They're evil spirits,
yeah.
and they're appearing to people.
Yeah.
I mean,
too.
Right, right.
There's many different kinds we've learned.
Yes, we have.
By the way.
Yeah. We talked about the UFOs.
Yeah, we spoke about UFOs that we're also witnessing by thousands, actually.
Wow.
And these are all demonic and very powerful in that they can deceive and seduce with miracles,
mm-hmm.
apparitions, and lying wonders. And I have to tell you, the Lady of Fatima, all those apparitions, they were all demonic. So to encourage Catholics to adore and pray to Mary.
Now, why would they do that?
Because they just saw an apparition of her.
No, but I mean, why would the demons want you to pray to Mary? Because you should be praying to Jesus.
That's right.
Right?
That's why they want idol worship, actually, is what it is.
Okay. All right. So it's spiritual adultery, really.
Mm-hmm.
Ooh, that's heavy. Can I just say this? You taught on this before, but the miracle at Fatima, the location of Fatima, which was in Portugal, it's an interesting name
mm-hmm.
for a town.
It is.
And it's interesting, we found out that that's the name of Muhammad, you know, Islam's
his
founder.
His daughter.
That was his daughter.
Yes, who he loved dearly.
Yes.
So when they saw this apparition at Fatima, then it was easier for the Muslims to accept Mary, and in fact they do.
They do?
Yeah.
Interesting. Very interesting. But we don't want that.
You know, it's just Jesus. Just Jesus.
There you go.
All right. And last week we actually left off at verse 14. And would you, John, mind reading verses 14 and 15 out of the original?
Okay.
And don't read it too fast.
Yeah, I'll try not to. Oops, sorry about bumping that. This is the Textus Receptus, the Book of Jude, and this is more like a direct translation.
Mm-hmm.
Starting in 14.
Yeah, 14 and 15.
Mm-hmm. And the seventh from Adam.
Now Enoch, the seventh from Adam.
Oh, this starts out. And
go ahead. I'm sorry for correcting you. Go ahead.
And the seventh from Adam. Enoch also prophesied to these men, saying, Behold, the Lord came with myriads of his saints to do judgment against all and to rebuke all the ungodly of them concerning all their ungodly works, which they ungodly did, and concerning all the hard things ungodly sinners spoke against him. That's it.
Amen. Okay. Basically, it starts out again in the New King James. It has Enoch's name first. That's why he threw me off there.
Oh.
But it says, Now Enoch, the seventh from Adam. And I think that is just very, very important. And I want to talk about that for a minute. Why would God tell us that Enoch was the seventh from Adam?
Good question.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Well, seven is a very important number. You know, it's a number of completion.
Mm-hmm.
But
oh, yeah.
I believe it is hinting that the seventh, thousandth year period from Adam, on the very first day of that millennium, on Adam's birthday, we too will be raptured.
Like Enoch.
Yeah.
We'll be taken up.
Just like, I mean, we're just, you know, I think he threw it in there because this is the last day's book, Jude. It's just mm-hmm. before the book of Revelation. And I believe, since we already knew, really,
mm-hmm.
that the 7,000th year is the millennial kingdom, and that very first day we're out of here.
Right.
Okay,
mm-hmm.
at the very last moment of the 6,000 years.
Whenever that occurs. And we're
yes,
not really,
whenever that occurs, right.
Hopefully it will be soon. But
yeah. Yes, I think so. But anyway, I think that's what that means. And then he goes on and says, Enoch the seventh from Adam prophesied about these men, these apostates and wolves,
mm-hmm.
saying, Behold, the Lord comes with 10,000 of his saints. And then goes on to say that, you know, we're going to judge these apostates.
Mm-hmm.
And it's interesting, too, that, well, first of all, we know Enoch was a prophet and he walked with God.
Mm-hmm.
Genesis 5 tells us that. And that he was taken by God. And this was before the big flood of Noah's day occurred.
Mm-hmm. And Sheila, wasn't Enoch alive while Adam and Eve were still living?
Oh, yes. Actually, they were. Adam and Eve were about 600 years old when Enoch had his experiences, and then he wrote it down in ancient Hebrew and told it orally to his son Methuselah and his grandson Lamech, who happens to be Noah's dad.
So Lamech mm-hmm. gave it to his son Noah personally.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So basically only three people here.
Right. And
you,
and you say it was written down?
Yes.
We just don't know on what.
Okay. Correct.
Okay.
So we only have three people here. Two spoke personally themselves to Enoch, who is said to have been the first one to use the alphabet that God originally gave to Seth.
Ooh.
Yeah, but that's, again, not scriptural. That's what they say.
Hmm.
They actually recorded many events, and I don't know if that was on animal skins or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
But anyway, however it was, Noah took them on the ark,
mm-hmm.
protected them. Then they were copied and passed down through Moses and the patriarchs. And Moses himself wrote about Enoch.
He did?
Mm-hmm. So did the author of Hebrews, mm-hmm. and now Jude as well. And Peter quoted from it.
Wow.
So Enoch had to have some influence on him, don't you think?
I think, yeah, some big influence on the Bible,
mm-hmm.
for sure.
And then godly men like Barnabas wrote of Enoch, and actually quite a few other learned teachers, and approximately 100 comments in the New Testament find precedence in the book of Enoch.
So 100 of those ideas that you go, where'd that come from? That actually came from the book of Enoch.
Yeah.
So we should be more familiar with it. Why
it was highly regarded when the New Testament was written. Highly regarded.
So. Huh.
So now, why would God even allow the references in his God-breathed word if it wasn't true?
Well, I don't think he would.
And after all, Enoch was taken up, so I'm thinking he was pretty important. So, sounds to me, although cautious, always, we definitely need to sit up and take notice whenever we see particular books suggested by the authors of Scripture. Again, since we know the Bible is the inspired Word of God.
And that's something that you either believe or you don't believe.
Right.
And we believe it is.
I do believe it. That's right.
Mm-hmm.
I'm telling you, there are those who rely on commentaries that are at times questionable over the writings of a prophet that God suggests that we read.
Yeah.
Which is why he tells us about it.
Right. Well, God wouldn't even mention it if it was full of errors, right?
Or he would tell us it was. He would say, well, this is a bad book, you know, something like that.
So why don't we have this included in our Bibles?
Oh, well, I knew you were going to ask
that. You knew I was going to ask that. Because yeah. It definitely should be there.
No way.
Oh, it shouldn't be.
Absolutely not. And here's why.
Oh, okay. Tell me.
I can really see why God wouldn't want these writings in the canon of Scripture, because it is so deep. It would actually confuse a new believer, especially the younger set. The book of Enoch needs to be read by learned and mature Christians. So if you're neither, don't read it, please. You must have a good idea, know the overall scope of the Bible, particularly the end of days, you know, like heaven, mm-hmm. hell, some knowledge of the different kinds of angels and demons.
Mm-hmm.
Then Enoch builds on that knowledge, and it's so much easier to grasp the depth of it. God knew what he was doing by not including it. And although hidden during the Dark Ages, was found with the Dead Sea Scrolls, for the last generation to find.
Yeah, we believe it's for the last generation. And in fact, his writings, the book of Enoch starts off by saying this is for those at the time of the end.
Yeah, at the time of the tribulation.
At the time of the tribulation.
That's what he says. So, hello.
Hello.
Funny that he just happens to have it in with the Dead Sea Scrolls that were found in 1947.
That just happened to be found accidentally by a
little boy.
Little shepherd boy.
Threw a stone in the cave.
Cave.
Click. Smash.
Yeah.
It's pretty amazing.
God has total, complete control over what's
just amazing.
How these things happen. It's so cool.
So now the compilation of the final product is what they call a pseudepigraphical writing.
Okay, what was that you just what was that you just said?
Pseudepigraphical.
Oh, okay.
It actually means it means that the original copiers of the Scrolls of Enoch, who put it all together, chose to remain anonymous. And after you read it, it's understandable why. They probably didn't want people perhaps hounding them as to the content, which are pretty extreme and controversial, to say the least. But Enoch's writings were very popular in the, at least the beginning of the New Testament time, up to about 700 years. It disappeared again, like I said, during the Dark Ages, but began to reappear, I'm told, in the late 1700s in an area around Ethiopia. And I think that's interesting because that's about when the Church of Philadelphia was birthed.
That's right.
You know, with the revivals and stuff.
That's right.
Yeah, pretty interesting. But it was really rejuvenated when copies of these ancient Hebrew writings were found at Qumran, as we already said. But 1947 is the same year that Israel received notice that they would become a ratified state the following year. So that was a pretty important year, 47.
Seems to be a very important year.
Of course it's important. I was born in that year.
You were?
Now I just told everybody how old I was.
Oh, my gosh.
But that began the beginning of the generation. Okay.
You were actually born in this year, so this is maybe this is why you're doing this today.
I don't know. Maybe.
That's
I don't know.
A very weird, interesting thought.
But it also confirms, because they found in Dead Sea Scrolls, that it was written before Christ's arrival, contrary to what skeptics will say, like they do with the book of Daniel, was written after the fact.
Right, right.
Not
right.
So, and that's why God did it this way. I mean, he's just a cool God, don't you think?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. You know, this is for the last generation to read.
It
we're
is.
The I believe we're that last generation.
I'm pretty convinced of that, too.
And I'm glad we're getting this out over the airwaves at WHKWRadio.com.
I know. And I don't know how many people are talking about it. But
and, you know, this, we want to take a break?
You know what? I think we will.
Okay.
Right now, real quick.
All right. Did you hear the breaks? Well, I guess we're going to go to a song, but before we do that, I got a few things to tell you. Shofar Ministries is a 501c3. All donations are tax deductible and are really vital to this last day's ministry. If you are being blessed, please let us know. Send us a love offering of any amount. Really, any amount would be fine. Just click on where it says partner with us on the website. It's right on the right side of the webpage, actually. And send your gift to Shofar Ministries, Box 513, Burton, Ohio, 44021. And all donations automatically put you on Sheila's informative newsletter, so include your email address as well. And be sure to check out the webpage for the newsletters and previous radio shows. They're all archived there, plus CD and DVD teachings there that you can purchase. So the phone lines are open. The number for your question, 888-677-WORD. That's 888-677-9673. Stay with us now. You're listening to the Shofar Ministries Hour, and we'll be right back after a short break and a great song called Our Father, I believe.
Yes.
Is that it? Our
yes,
Father.
Right from the Bible.
And it's by a nun. We'll
it
tell
is.
You, we'll tell you her name when we come back.
Yes, we will.
Yeah.
See, this is Well, that was great. I'm glad you're listening. I love that song. That was Sister Janet Mead, and we were trying to get a date on that. It came out in the 70s, and there was a lot of singing nuns back in the 70s. I think you'll remember.
Beautiful voice. Yeah. Just beautiful.
Beautiful voice. Great song. This is the Shofar Ministries Hour, and I'm glad you're with us. The phone lines are open for End Time Questions, 888-677-WORD. And reminder, Shofar Ministries Hour is here every Tuesday at 8 p.m. If you've found us, keep us tuned in, okay?
Tell a friend.
Tell a friend. And if you want to be on our newsletter, mailing list, or something like that, just send your gift, send your request to Sheila. I'm reading the wrong thing here. Send your request to Sheila at shofarministries.net. Or just use the regular postal service if you'd like. They're still working, I guess. And send your address to Box 513, Burton, Ohio, 44021. And if possible, please tuck in a love offering to help with expenses. We do have expenses, printing, and all that. Just call the office and leave a detailed message. If you need any more information, it's 440-834-9006.
Right, that's the office number. Don't call that now.
That's right. We won't be there. No one will be there.
No one's there, but we are here at, what's that number, John?
That number is 888-677-9673.
Which is Word.
Which is Word. It spells Word.
How about, let me say it.
Okay.
888-677-WORD. 888-677-WORD.
Do you want a jingle for that?
Yes. I think that would be great. Oh, well, John,
put me on the spot there.
You are so unique. I just can't imagine doing this program without you.
Thank you. Thank you. And I can't imagine. I would have been very, very in the dark about all the stuff going on in the world today if it were not for these shows and their teaching. This is actually a college course, I believe. To me, it's
absolutely
a college course.
Yeah,
I have learned so much. It's got to be a college course equivalent.
Well, I've taught at college, at Bible colleges, and so it is on the same line. I love doing that because I think it's important for people to not only just get someone's take on what they found out, but try to bring them through and show them why I came to that conclusion.
Yes.
And that's what I try to do.
And the other thing you've always did is you've told us to don't take your word for it.
Right.
That if to look up the references yourself.
Right.
Look it up in the Bible. Look at your references. Look at your commentaries.
Mm-hmm.
Go to your mentors and really study it out for yourself.
And
we raise a lot more questions sometimes than we answer, right?
Right, and that's the whole point, because I want to stir them up to find their own answers, because that gets them in the Word, and that's how they grow, and that's how you get your armor on.
Before the break, we were mentioning the 1700s, and, I can say
no, go ahead.
Okay, we were mentioning the 1700s and the Church of Philadelphia. That's when the Church of Philadelphia started. And
yes.
I wondered if you could
prophetically
elaborate.
Speaking, that's prophetically speaking, when the Church of Philadelphia actually came into being. They came out of the Sardis Church, which was the Reformation Church. But the Reformation Church, Sardis, was kind of a dead church.
Okay.
So then the Philadelphia Church was birthed in the 1700s, early 1700s. And that's what we are in today. And this is the full, the spirit. We have the Spirit of God, and we're excited and jubilant, and we learn about the end times and things like that.
Is there a place we could get more information on that?
Well, Book of Revelation, definitely.
About on the website?
Oh, sure. It's all on there, I think. I think Blue put it on there for me.
Okay.
Definitely.
Okay.
But it's the church, the prophetic view
it's
of
prophetic
the seven
church
churches.
And this is from the Book of Revelation.
That's right.
Okay.
That's
it's not a church building in the city of Philadelphia.
Right.
Okay. In Pennsylvania, no. All right.
Okay. I think we have a caller from Cleveland, and she is on the line.
Yes. Hello. Good evening.
Hi.
Hi, thank you for having such a wonderful broadcast.
Thank
this
you.
Is my first time actually turning to it,
wow.
And I felt led to call. My name is Yvonne, and I've been saved for a long time, but I'm reconciling with the Lord. I've been knowing the Lord for a long time, so I've been kind of lazy in getting to know Him.
Sure.
And there's different, I've taken the Lord for granted, but my eyes are open to the times we're living in and for my soul. I want to request prayer for my two children, but they're pretty good kids in the natural, but neither one are saved. And my daughter, she's used to going through life with everything wonderful happening to her, and including jobs. But I feel that there's something very, very wrong.
How old are they?
My daughter is 30,
okay.
And my son is 36, although I may sound younger.
Okay, so they have 1 foot in the world?
Yes.
Okay.
And I think on her job, she's been complaining a lot about her boss, but the only thing she told me, I think she's trying to get rid of me. And my daughter works hard, but I just hope she can endure. The only thing, she's not really answering her calls, just saying she's overwhelmed and very, very overwhelmed and long hours. She's a single parent, and I just hope that's all it is. That's all she's telling me, and she's not answering my calls, not really.
Okay, well, this is like an end-time question for people to call in with your end-time questions, but that's okay. I happen to know that there's a lot out there that actually have kids that need prayer, so I'm going to take the time right now and pray for your two children and also any others that might be listening that have children that claim are in the name of Jesus, but they don't really walk the walk.
They don't really walk the walk. And I did lead them in the Lord as in the youth, but
right.
Myself, I've taken, God has been so good. But I do realize this is end times, and
yes.
I want to be used by the Lord and not being a salt without the flavor, you know.
Well, all you have to do is get in there and study that word, and especially
okay.
End times. I think the study of end times and Revelation brings a special blessing, and you
okay.
grow faster, and we need to hurry because we're running out of time. But I would like to pray for you and your children, Yvonne. I'm going to do that right now. Dear Heavenly Father, we just come before you in the name of Jesus, and we pray for all those that are listening tonight that might have children out there that are not walking the walk. They say they're saved and tell others they're a Christian, but we know so many that just don't want to even read the Bible, and they still have 1 foot in the world. So, Lord, I pray right now for these children of those that are listening to us right now, that you will bless them and pull them like taffy towards you, that you will do everything you can, put them in the right situations, bring the right people to them, help them to make that decision. I know you can't change their minds, that they have a choice. But I know, Lord, that you can make it inconvenient even doing anything you need to do to bring them to their knees. So we plead the blood of Jesus over these children, mine included, John's included,
mm-hmm.
and all of those,
I
Lord.
Agree.
Right now, we lift them up before you.
Children.
That's
yes,
right. In the name of Jesus. And we ask, Lord, that you rebuke the devourer that wants to come in and cause them confusion and play with their mind and tempt them and all that. Lord, I pray that you will give them a window where they only hear from you. And we will praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. And we want to thank Yvonne for calling in. That was very
yes,
nice.
And much needed. We do need to do that.
Yes. Amen. All right. Let's get back to our... Yeah, right. We forgot to mention that.
Yes. And
let's do that.
Okay. Well, this Friday, this June 7th at 7 p.m. out in Chesterland, Chesterland Christian Center, we will be live out there in person. That doesn't really
live in person.
In
I
person.
Could.
Instead of listening on the radio, come out, and then you can just join in with the worship music. I will be leading the worship. We'll have Melanie there. It'll be a great time. Starts at 7. The address, you know it. We'll give it at the end of the show.
Yeah, we will.
Yeah. So join us out there. We'll pray for your children, too. Good
That's
night.
That's right.
Yep.
Amen to that.
Amen.
Okay, do you remember where I left off, Charles?
No, I don't. I have the slightest idea. But I know we were talking about the Book of Enoch and how it's just the book, and it does answer all the questions about the fallen angels we have today and how that ties in with the UFOs and the aliens that are supposed to be from other planets who are really demons.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, they really are.
And the Book of Enoch just explains this stuff.
Oh,
so
totally.
Well.
Totally.
So well.
Yeah. So basically, Enoch was actually a spokesperson. Did you know that, for these fallen angels? Because after they fell, according to his writings, after they fell, they were very sorry that they rebelled. And they asked him to talk to God about redeeming them.
Mm-hmm.
Now, while Enoch was recalling all this after talking to these fallen angels, he was perplexed on what to do and didn't know how to approach God, and he didn't even have to, because while he was sleeping that night in a dream, God came to him and said, relay to them that there is absolutely no way he would redeem them from their horrible transgressions. Again, like the scripture that we read.
Yeah, they tasted the glories of the kingdom of heaven, the glories God had, and they still blew it.
That's right. And God is was very upset with them, may probably still is.
Well, they had a lot of responsibility, too. Mm-hmm. They sure did.
And they've done a lot of damage. But scholars who have studied Enoch intensely do say that there are absolutely no contradictions to the Bible in it.
In the book of Enoch?
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
And it's really amazing how Enoch describes the stars, the galaxies, how to make lightning. They're actually stars that explode and it turns into lightning. I mean, it's just amazing. And he's so precise in these writings that there's no way he could have known these certain specific details without God showing it to him. And now, because of the scientific knowledge that we have, we know that we can authenticate it. Anyone that reads it,
And I have read it. I borrowed it from you.
Yes, probably. But Enoch indeed did walk with God, but not just on a spiritual level. I'm talking on a physical level as well. Never saw directly his face, but he was right there next to him.
So he walked physically with God.
And as mentioned before, Enoch also names some of the chief fallen angels. They all have names, by the way. And I think we mentioned this on one of our other programs, but I wasn't sure, so I thought I'd do it again. One of the chief's fallen angels' names was called Azazel, who the Israelites named a goat after.
Yes.
And every year at Yom Kippur, that high priest lays his hands on this goat's head and transfers all the sins of Israel on it and sends the scapegoat out into the wilderness, and then eventually falls off a cliff. And you might think, well, okay, I could understand why they would do that. You know, there's a word for that anyway. Substitute, I guess, maybe.
A substitutionary sacrifice?
Yeah, exactly. Thank you.
Okay.
See, John, why I have you here?
Yeah, I can pinch hit.
Yes, right. Anyway, it just so happens that God told them to name this scapegoat Azazel. In fact, that's actually what it means in Hebrew.
Yeah, you're going to read in your Bible scapegoat, but in Hebrew, if you're reading it, you're reading Azazel, right?
That's right. Mm-hmm. So he was the chief of all the fallen angels.
Fallen angels, yeah. He was
the
troublemaker. You said something. You found another way to listen to the book of Enoch. I think you had it on tape or something. You're describing it to me today.
Yeah.
And you said this Azazel creature, all the demons, when they were fell, according to Enoch, were given specific areas where you had to stay. Some were sent clear down to the abyss, the center of the earth. Some out in the this area, like Persia, and some out into the desert.
Yep, absolutely.
That was
and it's interesting that this Azazel scapegoat, after it gets all the sins put on it, goes out into the desert.
Interesting.
It's amazing.
It was a big picture, I think, wasn't it? To remind them of the Book of Enoch.
Well, we know that demons live in the wilderness anyway. I mean,
do we know that?
Yeah, it says so in the Bible a couple of times.
Oh, okay. Yeah, oh, it does.
Gives you that impression.
It does. It gives you that impression. You're right.
So could you just read, just to confirm what we just said, Leviticus 16:26?
Yeah, absolutely. Be honored to read from God's Word. And he who released the goat as the scapegoat, and parenthetically I'll say it's word number 5799, Azazel, shall wash his clothes and bathe his body in water, and afterward he may come into the camp. So the person that actually releases the goat that had its all the sins of the people placed upon it, figuratively, I guess, if you want to say, he was unclean.
That's right.
Just for having associated with it.
Yes.
Interesting.
Yes. And in Enoch's, and just in his very first vision alone, in the book of Enoch, he describes himself as having his eyes divinely opened to see heaven. And he describes heaven in a similar way as Daniel, Ezekiel, even Stephen, and of course John the Revelator, but in a more elaborate, panoramic manner. And this was before ever any of that.
Right, before any of that was written.
A few thousand years before Moses was even born.
Born, yeah.
Before Torah.
Yeah. Well, it's just amazing.
It really is.
Yeah, God let Enoch look so far ahead, like Daniel. And to the end of the age, to see the actually see the second coming.
He saw the second coming, too.
Yes, he saw the second coming of the holy and great one to earth. And John did. Mm-hmm. Book of Revelation, he saw that, too.
Many years later.
So here, many years later. So here are three privileged people in the Bible, Enoch and Daniel and, mm-hmm. and John. And these, I think these were very beloved
Ezekiel and Stephen.
Servants and Stephen, mm-hmm. beloved servants of the Lord. And I think they have a special place in the Bible as well as in prophecy as a picture.
Amen.
As a picture.
But anyway, I think I have one more tidbit I could share.
Okay.
Enoch says the chosen ones, which I believe is the Jewish people,
mm-hmm.
when the Holy One, which is Jesus, returns to earth, the Messiah, they will be greeted by him in the wilderness, where Matthew 24 tells the Jews to flee when they see the abomination. So there we have another picture. And if you remember, Matthew 24 tells them to, when they see the abomination of desolation,
mm-hmm.
to flee
to the
mountains.
To the mountains?
Yeah, which
okay.
are south.
Right.
Okay. And we've always thought that it's probably Petra because, you know, it has a lot of caves there and protection. But according to Enoch, he says they're going to go a little more south, down to the original area of where they were before at Mount Sinai.
Hmm.
And that makes total sense because they wouldn't believe him before. Now he's going to give them a chance. He's going to put them back there. Now we'll see what they do. But I think that's where Jesus gets them from when he returns, and that's what Enoch says.
So where the law was first given, that's where they're going to go.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And we know this area, of course, is in Saudi Arabia. It's not in the area that we used to think for hundreds and thousands of years, no, hundreds of years, that it was in Egypt's Mount Sinai, but it's not. It's
no.
in Arabia.
Yes, and that was found from Galatians, the book of Galatians 4:25.
That's right. And now we understand why they could never find a lot of evidence that they were over in Egypt.
But there were 5-6 million people out there in the wilderness.
Yeah, and
there
no
was,
evidence.
There was no evidence, but in Saudi Arabia.
Different story.
Different
in fact,
story.
They fenced it all off. You get in serious trouble if you even try to get into that area, and especially near that mountain, which, by the way, is still charred.
And it's still called by the Arabs Moses' Mountain.
Really?
Yes.
Wow.
And the top is still charred. And that's very
it
interesting.
Is.
And
we got pictures of that.
We have pictures of that.
Yeah. And they also found that rock.
They found the rock where the water, the split rock, and they mm-hmm. also found the 12 altars that Moses put up for the 12
that's
tribes
right.
around the base of this mountain.
That's right.
So that's all there, and it's in Arabia.
It's exciting, isn't it?
So maybe Petra isn't really going to be the hiding place, even though it's all carved out of the rock. It's safe
yeah.
from...
Yeah, I've been there. It's pretty cool.
Yeah. I've seen the pictures you brought back.
Yeah. It was pretty neat. But Enoch describes the tribulation. He explains the final judgment on earth. Talks about it being with much fire. He describes earthquakes that level mountains, spewing flames, molten lava.
Well, certainly not like the judgment of flooding that was about to happen soon after his son, who was Methuselah, dies, right?
Right, and he did prophesy that as well, by the way.
Yes.
Yes, in his writings.
Oh, he did?
Yes.
Oh, wow.
He mentions it.
So that is cool.
Yeah. So, anyway.
Oh, wow. Well, you know, this really makes Enoch more credible, and it does make the book of Jude definitely more credible. And I can see where we need actually information from both of these these books for today, right?
Okay. Right. Okay, so verse 14, now we want to finish 15 because you did read it, and
okay.
It basically tells us what we're going to do when we return with Jesus.
Oh, when we return with Jesus.
Yeah.
Oh, here it is. It
says to execute judgment on all, to convict all who are ungodly among them of all their ungodly deeds, which they have committed in an ungodly way, and all of the harsh things which ungodly sinners have spoken against him. Gee, do you think he's got something against the ungodly?
It sounds like it. It really does. Do you think that's being ungodly, that word's being used too much? No.
I mean, he's just trying to make a point.
Yes, okay.
Okay, and that's pretty self-explanatory. We are actually going to come back with him, and then we
and
will
we're
help
execute
judgment.
Interesting.
Yeah. We're going to help with the separation of the sheep and goats.
Mm.
We'll be right there.
Wow.
And the goats, of course, are always the ungodly. And the sheep will go into the millennial kingdom.
And the goats will go into the wilderness.
Yeah, well, some waiting place, probably hell, until the great white throne judgment, which will be at the end of the millennial kingdom.
Mm.
And that is called the judgment of the ungodly.
That is called that, isn't
mm-hmm.
it? So now, oh, okay.
So, all right, let's just, we've still got 5 minutes. Let's do verse 16, because it kind of describes even more these ungodly people.
Oh, okay, cool. Can I read it?
Yeah.
Okay, verse 16. These are grumblers, complainers, walking according to their own lusts, and they mouth great swelling words, flattering people to gain advantage.
Yes, how many times have you heard people do that? You know, flatter?
Mm-hmm. Well, I'm reading complain, and I'm thinking, well, you know, I complain.
Oh, yeah, the grumblers and complainers.
Yeah,
right. Boy, that's really heavy, though, if you think about it.
That is.
Because we don't think of it any more than, oh, just a little minor sin, you know. But God does not like a grumbler. When you are saved, blood-bought, born-again Christian, you shouldn't grumble ever about anything. Because
You're
we
right.
are so blessed to be saved. Life is going to be life. Things are going to be thrown at you all the time.
Well, I don't really want to look like an ungodly person.
No, you certainly don't. And you don't want to be a complainer.
I don't want to grumble or complain. You're
right. You got to admit, we all go through times where we certainly have the right to grumble.
Mm-hmm.
Or we certainly have the right to complain in the world stance.
Mm-hmm.
But not in God's eyes. You know, we should be
humble. Saved. If we're saved, we should be humble. And we should be very thankful that where we live, for one thing, that we're not suffering persecution, and the wealth of information at our fingertips to study his word that we have.
Oh, aren't we blessed?
And we're very blessed to have that.
And then to read these extra writings like Enoch, and then there's the book of Jasher, I understand, which I have not read.
Yeah.
You know, Jubilees. I mean, there's other things that can enhance what you already know.
You know, and when you learn all the story, you know, there's so much that I'm learning here that isn't in the Bible and is. I don't know how to describe this. It's there and it's not, but... with the book of Enoch, it's now becoming clear.
Yes.
Now, this is making studying the Bible very, very interesting. And a lot of people would tell you when you say, hey, you need to read your Bible more, and they'll say, well, it's boring. I'm falling asleep and all that. Well, of course it's boring if you're not getting into it verse by verse like we are and looking into the background.
You've got to study.
You do have to study, and that's what makes it interesting.
That's right. Makes it really interesting to me because you're sitting there and you're sitting at a desk and you're having to move your hand so you're not going to fall asleep and you're taking notes. And then every time you look at an A, B, or C next to the word, you should look that up.
Right.
So because it complements usually. And that's how you study.
And curiosity really pays off in Bible study. The other part of the verse, it says walking according to their own lust. And that, you know, and that's just
their own flesh.
Their own flesh. Mm-hmm. And, you know, how many times do we do that?
Yeah.
I do that. It's like, what's my first thing when I get up in the morning is I'm hungry, and I don't think about God a lot of times.
Probably eat before we pray, huh?
Well, yeah, you know, and a lot of times that's how I get up. I start out with I got to do something for the flesh, but really I need to do something for to check in with God and say, hey, maybe you got something for me to do.
That's right. So next week we're going to pick it up at verse 17. And I hope that everyone will join us again, and we're going to finish it next week for sure.
You keep saying that.
I know.
That's okay.
I know.
But we'll learn something new. We'll definitely be appreciative of and thankful for it for next week. Is Jesus Lord of your whole life, or do you only have that head knowledge of him and not really a heart conviction? All you have to do is get on your knees right now and repent, particularly of those individual sins that are lingering in your life. You know what they are, and they are weighing you down. Then commit or recommit your life to Yeshua, your Savior. Remember, it's always your choice to choose where you want to spend eternity. God never sends anyone to hell. You decide yourself where your soul, which never dies, by the way, spends eternity. And it has to go somewhere. And there are only two places, with God or with Satan. You decide.
Do what Jesus told us to do. Go make disciples and be blessed.
And tell one person a day that Jesus loves them and wants them as one of his sheep, for he's the great shepherd.
Amen.
Amen. Yevrecha ka Adonai v'yishmarecha. Ya'er Adonai panav elecha v'chunecha. Yisa Adonai panav elecha v'yisim lecha shalom.
And that's the Aaronic Blessing, number 6, 22 through 27. And I'm going to say it in English. The Lord will bless you and keep you. The Lord will make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord will lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. Till next time, Sha'alu Shalom, Jerusalem. Pray for the peace of Jerusalem. Those who love her shall prosper. See you Friday in Chesterland, Chester Christian Center. 7 o'clock.
Thanks for spending your hour with Sheila Crawford at the Shofar Ministries broadcast on AM 1220 The Word. If you would like to help keep the show on the air, please visit the Shofar Ministries website, shofarministries.net. That's all one word, shofarministries.net. Once you're there, click on the donate button on the left-hand side of the page, and it'll take you to PayPal's secure payment site. If you don't use the internet, you can send your check or money order donation to the following address: Box 513, Burton, Ohio, 44021. That's Box 513, Burton, Ohio, 44021. For any questions or comments you have about this program, please send an email to Sheila at the following address, Sheila@ShofarMinistries.net. That's Sheila@ShofarMinistries.net. Please join us next Tuesday night at 8 for Shofar Ministries, right here on AM 1220, The Word. The preceding program is sponsored by Shofar Ministries.